Acharitani, the activities, cha, and translation. One should take shelter of holy places where my saintly devotees reside, and one should be guided by the exemplary activities of my devotees, who appear among the demigods, demons, and human beings. Please repeat responsibly. One should take shelter of the holy places where my saintly devotees reside. And one should be guided by the exemplary activities of my devotees who appear among the demigods, demons, and human beings. Purport. Narada Muni is one of the greatest devotees of the Lord who appeared among the demigods. Prahlad Maharaj appeared among the demons, and many other great devotees such as Ambarish Maharaj and the Pandavas appeared among human beings. One should take shelter of the devotees, exemplary activities, and also the holy places where devotees reside. Thus one will remain safe on the path of devotional service. Om Agena Timirandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshur Milita Mena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manavishtam Sthapita Mena Bhutale Svayam Rupa Kadam Mahyam Dadati Svapadam Tikam Hey Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dinabandhu Jagatpate Gopisha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Rase Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhano Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vanchakalpa Tarubhyascha Kripa Sindhu Vevacha Bhagitana Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shivasri Gaur Bhakta Vrindam Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. Here Lord Krishna continues his very important instructions, concluding words to the Uddhava Gita, and in this particular verse the Lord emphasizes saintly association as well as visiting holy places as one of the most powerful medicine for raising consciousness. As we all know from Nectar of Devotion, Rupa Goswami has delineated five processes that are extremely important for making advancement amongst those processes, the association with devotees is sometimes emphasized the most, because associating with the devotees includes everything else. Includes the chanting of the holy names. Association with devotees includes studying Shastra, worshipping the deities, residing in the holy place. So there is some special mercy and special blessing in being able to associate with saintly devotees and taking advice and direction from them, and specifically observing their exemplary activities is here emphasized to be a great boon to a person. Lord Krishna reveals to Uddhava that the devotees do not appear only amongst demigods. We know that the demigods are all devotees of the Lord. They appear amongst the human beings as well, and even amongst the demons. In the purport we have Narada Muni being quoted. He appeared amongst demigods. Ambarish Maharaj, the Pandavas appeared amongst human beings. Prahlad Maharaj appeared amongst the demons. In other words, this is some special mercy of Krishna. Krishna is trying to infiltrate into the material insane realm and trying to offer an opportunity for the inmates of the prison house of the material world. It doesn't matter what kind of position they are, the Lord appears to deliver transcendental knowledge and to liberate one from perpetual suffering in the cycle of birth and death. So we see here that thus one will remain safe on the path of devotional service. The devotees play a crucial role for liberating the living entities in this material world. In Bhagavad Gita 4:8, the Lord says, Yadaya dahi dharmasya glanir bhavati bharata abhyutanama dharmasya tadatma naam srijami aham. Whenever and whenever there is decline of religious practice, rise of atheism or irreligion, at that time I descend myself to re-establish religious practice. Prabhupada writes in the purport that the Lord appears in the material world sometimes himself, sometimes he sends an empowered representative, and he says that he appears all over the world and not only on Indian soil. So Prabhupada says this because sometimes people think that this is Hindu mythology. So Prabhupada confirms that the Lord and his representatives can appear everywhere. So it is not a folklore of the Hindu people, but it's actually a transcendental mission to liberate the inmates of the insane prison house of Durga Devi. So association with devotees must not be taken cheaply and for granted. The more we understand what association of devotees is, the more we will be benefited by it. The more we misunderstand, the more we will be misusing even the opportunity. So everything is about perception. How do you perceive a reality? And it's about education of spiritual subject matter, Shastra Chakshu. If one is educated spiritually, he can he or she can perceive the reality appropriately and they can apply themselves to the situation appropriately. But if we have no spiritual education, no Shastra Chakshu, we will surrender to our conditioning, and in that way we will make mistakes, thinking that the devotees are ordinary human beings. And we sometimes not only not going to try to take advantage of their association, but in the extreme case, due to the influence of the illusory energy, one may even think of how to exploit the devotee for his own ends. So everything is about perception. Prabhupada gave the example of the elephant and the three blind men. So they were trying to understand what this object was, and because they were blind they couldn't understand. But then there was a little boy that was actually able to see, so he told them, this is an elephant. So all of them had a relative experience according to what they could touch with their senses, and everyone had a wrong idea until the devotee came, or the little boy came, and in that way he was able to enlighten them what is this object. Similarly, another important point on perception is, I saw recently a film done about gambling, and you'll be amazed at how people perceive gambling. They thought it's something very nice, and there was two elderly ladies interviewed. I'm sure why they chose them. There is a reason. Because sometimes in the elderly age, people have a lot of time, nothing to do. They have money, you see. So this elderly lady, the first one, she thought this is just cool entertainment. Her perception was, this is entertainment, I'm going to have fun, I'm going to the casino, whatever. Gradually, she lost all her money and she started stealing from her work, wherever she was working, just to feed that addiction. The second lady also did something similar, and they were basically described as victims of that addiction. And then the lady who interviewed these elderly ladies, the actual journalist, she went to speak to the owner of that casino, and the fellow was trying to impress upon her again and again that this is entertainment, that this woman would have spent their money anyways. And he kept pressing that issue, and when she probed him more and more, he became angry with the lady. Yeah. So this is about perception. Everyone sees things differently, according to their conditioning, according to their level of consciousness. Prabhupada gave another example concerning the Absolute Truth. Brahmeti, Paramatmeti, Bhagavaniti, Shabdite. If you observe the Absolute Truth, initially you may see some cloud, some kind of a dark mass. If you go closer, you see that it's got a shape. And then ultimately, if you go even closer, you see there is living entities living on that mountain. So similarly, the perception about reality, of the goal of life, the reality of the source of everything, is very vague according to a person's perception. So my class will be very much about understanding reality, how to perceive reality, how to be mindful of what's going on inside and outside, because that can actually help us to make sufficient advancement on the part of devotional service. And even in this context, it can help us understand how to associate with devotees as well, because we may see a devotee as a dark mass in the distance, or we may see the devotee as some kind of a shape, or we may see actually the devotee for who he or she is. According to our perception, we may be seeing very different things, all of us. So, in devotional service, it is crucial that one becomes purified by association with Shastra and the Holy Name. Shastra Chakshu is the primary potency, because Shravanam is the foundation for Kirtanam. Unless you hear, you cannot chant. You may chant for a while, but because your hearing was limited and your faith is limited and your understanding is limited, then the chanting will be dropped after some time. Therefore, Shravanam, which means reading and hearing, is crucial. That means spiritual education. By reading Shastra, we can understand even that there is three levels of chanting. Again, difference of perception. Namaparat, Namabhas, and Shudanam. So if you chant on the level of Namaparat, Bahu Janme Kari Hari Shravana Kirtana Tabutaya Paya Krishna Pada Premadana, every morning you recite this verse. We chant with the parats for millions and millions of birds, one will not be able to attain love of God. So how do we perceive our chanting is very important. Are we mindful of what we're doing? Some of us may chant on that level, Nama Parat. We should know what Nama Parat is. We should understand what Nama Bas means, the clearing stage. And we should strive for the topmost stage, Shudanam, because through Shudanam one can gain love of God. Namabhas can only offer us liberation from the material world. But as you know, liberation is not perfection, because even if one is liberated, but one is not attached to Krishna in pure love of God, he or she may fall down again. So basically, we may be chanting, but based on our perception, we may get different result, all of us. Amazing, huh? So you can see how crucial it is to be mindful of what I am doing and why am I doing. So, being mindful is about recognizing the internal dialogue that goes on inside the head. Each one of us has a dialogue. Once Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj said that, do you know the person with whom you associate the most? Devotees were thinking, maybe it's this devotee, I'm spending the most time with him. Maybe it's that devotee, or maybe it's Prabhupada, because I'm reading his books. But Tirtha Maharaj said, not really. The person you associate the most with is your own mind. So if your own mind is your own enemy, he'll destroy you. Therefore, constant mindfulness about the mind is required. In other words, we need to be aware of what's our internal dialogue. Is it, first of all, negative or positive? Negative means always putting ourselves down, disempowering ourselves, discouraging ourselves. Or is it empowering, encouraging ourselves, enthusing ourselves to continue on the path of devotional service? This is very crucial. So, To be mindful is very, very, very important. Therefore, in the previous verse, it was mentioned that one has to perform his service to Krishna without becoming impetus. In other words, without material motives. Therefore, we need to examine that issue of mindfulness now is to examine what our motive is for performance of devotional service. We may perform devotional service for material gain, which is something gross, for subtle gain, some kind of position, recognition, for mystic power, attaining mystic power, or even merging into God. Or we may perform devotional service to really please Krishna. See, five levels. Where are we into this devotional service? So if we are serving Krishna, what is my motive? What is my consciousness for doing deity worship? What is my consciousness on going on books, cooking bhoga for Krishna, leading kirtan? What is my consciousness? Because whatever is your consciousness, that reciprocation you'll get from Krishna. Gaurakishore Das Babaji Maharaj said that, yes, Lord Nityananda is very merciful, but if you are a cheater, he will cheat you. If you want something material for the service that you do, then Lord Nityananda will give you that. He will never give you the holy name, the Shuddhanam, through which you can get love of God. So basically we have to examine the motivations, and we have to, when we see there is impurity, we need to surrender to Krishna and pray that impurity to be lifted. You see, Devi hi shagunamai mama maya durataya mam evam e praparente maya mitam tanadite. Just by surrendering unto Krishna, automatically Krishna will remove that impurity, that conditioning, that painful consciousness that will block us to make advancement. But if we're not aware of that, we may be going in circles, doing externally the right thing but internally for the wrong reason. One time Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the devotees were in ecstasy about one person called Ram Das Vishwas, and he was chanting constantly the name of Ram day and night, Ram, 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 and he was doing menial service. He was carrying the bags of the devotees when they traveled on pilgrimage, and he will do so much menial service. And the devotees went to Lord Chaitanya and they glorified him, and he said, you know, I don't want to hear of him because he is chanting Ram's name to become Ram. Interesting, huh? All the time he was chanting. So externally he looks, oh my God, this is a Paka Vaishnava, you know, really Paka Vaishnava. But he's chanting to become Ram. So Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, being the super soul, he could understand the heart of this person. One time in my service in Cape Town, Bhaktirtha Maharaj, we did some renovation of the temple and he came to visit. So we were two or three devotees there that were involved, and Maharaj was just passing by going somewhere, so we decided, let's encourage Maharaj, show him that we did this and all that. So he said, Maharaj, look, we put this floor and whatever. And he just turned and he said, have you become devotees of Krishna? And he just walked away. You can do anything, but what's your motive is the most important thing. How do we perceive devotional service? How do we perceive Vaishnavas? How do we perceive the holy name? So, mindfulness. If we're not examining our hearts, the progress is very slow. Sometimes you may think, hey, I'm chanting this bhajan, but is my consciousness really pleasing Krishna and inspiring the devotees to surrender to Krishna? Or is it that I am chanting this bhajan to get some recognition or whatever, you know, something like this? So, if you see that your consciousness is wrong, then what was the solution? Devihi Shagunamai. My dear Lord, I am totally fallen, useless rascal. Please. Please purify me from all these impurities. I have no hope except you. You are the disinfectant factor that purifies all the dirt. So in that way, we surrender to Krishna and there is immediate effect of purification. So devotional service is ultimately all about constant surrendering to Krishna in the heart. Constant. Every time we examine ourselves, we surrender. So initially that may be mechanical, almost like trying to direct ourselves towards taking shelter of Krishna. But the more we are sincerely trying to acknowledge our weaknesses and recognize Krishna's position as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, there will be reciprocation, and that attachment to Krishna will become natural, asakti. Will become attached, it will flow like the Ganges river into the ocean. Naturally will flow towards Krishna. That affection will develop. So, Bhakti Chaitanya Maharaj again said something very interesting. He said, in our mind, in our consciousness, there is two dogs that are barking, fighting with each other. One dog is evil, one dog is good. The evil dog is the dog of the false ego, trying to enjoy the material energy. And the good dog is the dog of the devotee, the soul, that is trying to surrender to Krishna. He said, I'm sure you'll agree that every one of you has these two dogs fighting inside. And he said, whichever dog you feed, that dog will win. So if you feed the evil dog, then you know what's going to happen. Bhaktivinoda Maharaj said once again that if you don't want to fall down in Maya, you will not fall down. Because you make the decision, I don't want the suffering of the illusory energy. I want to engage in Krishna's service and I'm surrendering to Krishna, and then Krishna will protect you. That's why you won't fall down. So one must have Shastra Chakshu, understanding of the position of the soul, the position of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the process of sadhana, Vaidhi and Raghunuga Bhakti, and also one should always examine what is favorable, what's unfavorable for pleasing Krishna. So we all have heard the verse Sarva Dharma Parityaja Mam Ekam Sharanam Vraja Aham Tvam Sarva Kalpebhyo Mokshayami Ma Asuchaha. Maybe thousands of times. Rupa Goswami delineates what are the six principles of surrender. So he says the six principles of surrender is that we avoid what is unfavorable for execution of devotional service. One. Number two, we embrace what is favorable for the execution of devotional service to Krishna. Number three, recognizing that Krishna is our only maintainer. Number four, recognizing that Krishna is our only protector. Number five, we are always dependent on Krishna. Sometimes I've seen for number five said that we should always aim at pleasing Krishna. So both are there. We're depending on Krishna, but we're aiming to please Him too. And number six, we should always be meek and humble before Krishna and His devotees. These are the six aspects of surrender, cooperating with Krishna, you see. So that requires mindfulness. Surrender is not an external activity. It requires examination of the heart, because really Krishna accepts what we offer in the heart. He says, Patram Pushpam Palantoyam, Yome Bhaktya Prayachati. If you offer me anything with love, I accept that. So it's not the external offering that he is accepting. He is accepting the heart. If you offer me that with love. So we have to be constantly mindful. Am I offering my heart, my love to Krishna? Or am I just trying to impress Krishna how great I am by doing the service? There is a difference between pleasing Krishna and trying to impress Krishna. If you try to please Krishna, there is intense humility. And if you try to impress Krishna, there is pride. Look, Krishna, how great I am. You know, I'm doing this service for you. Can you see now? What is the benediction that you're going to give me now? What benefit I'm going to get from this? So, this is actually the science of bhakti. We have to be very concerned whether we really execute devotional service properly, because an improper execution of devotional service will be ineffective to gain love of God. We may gain material prosperity, position, we may gain liberation, so many different things. But bhakti yoga, or the process that Prabhupada is offered, is Vraja Bhakti, to become a resident of Vrindavan. Krishna comes once 8,640,000,000 years. He comes down to distribute Vraja Bhakti, to show Vraja Bhakti, and then Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu comes after him to reinforce. So it is something, from a human point of view, very rare. Once in 8,640,000,000 years, Krishna descends to this world, and then Mahaprabhu comes 5,000 years later. That is the general type of descent or avatar that Krishna arranges this to distribute this Vraja Bhakti. So we can actually look at it and marvel how merciful is Krishna, giving the highest, the topmost entrance into the intimate pastimes, his most exalted intimate pastimes. He gives that, he distributes that freely to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Even to the greatest demon who takes shelter of him, he can get it. And one who pretends to be a devotee, he will not get it. You see. When Vibhishan took shelter of Ram, as you know, Vibhishan chastised Ravana for him stealing Sita, and he told him, you just give Sita back, otherwise you have a big problem. But Ravana was so proud, and he just ignored him. He said, you know, you're just supporting my enemy, you should be killed. He told him, Ravana, like that. So Vibhishan realized that there is no hope, and he decided to disappear from Lanka and to go and surrender himself to Ram. So when he went there, the monkeys were a little disturbed. They thought, look, this is a demon. He's the brother of Ravana. He's an imposter. He's saying that he's a friend, but he's coming to actually cause disturbance. So he was also a devotee who appeared in a demon family. But Lord Ramachandra said, look, I have given my promise. Everyone that surrenders unto me, even if he's a demon, sincerely, I will protect him. I will give him my shelter. So in that way the monkeys became pacified, to a big degree, they were still deluded. They were still thinking maybe this fellow during the course of the war may change. So they were observing him all the time. But this is how the Lord operates. He is ready to give the mercy to the greatest demon, especially in this Kali Yuga, through Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So we are all being given this tremendous position, and we must not misuse the gift of Srila Prabhupada. Therefore, we have to take very seriously this process, examine our hearts, chant mindfully, try to become free of anarthas. There are 16 anarthas. The time is actually almost ended for the class. Maybe when I give the next class after Maharaj's leaving, then I can speak on the 16 anarthas. But you can also do a research in the interim. Bhaktivinoda Thakur writes about the 16 anarthas in Bhajan and Rahasya in that book. So if anyone wants to get it before that, I can give email to you. There are 16 anarthas that are actually blocking us. And we have to know that this is an anartha, because sometimes we may think this is my friend, you know. So one final thought is the greatest warriors are the spies in an army. The spy is so powerful that he can infiltrate into the opposite camp, and he can look just like the opposite camp. It's very powerful. You just cannot understand, is this my friend or my enemy? You actually think this is my friend. He looks like your friend. So what are the greatest warriors in the mind? It's lust, greed, anger, envy, illusion, madness. And sometimes Bhaktivinoda Thakur adds the seventh enemy, is pride. So these enemies, when we are conditioned, when we are crazy by the association with the material world, these enemies appear just like friends. Mr. Lust whispers in our ears, go and do this, it's good for you. Mr. Greed, Mr. Anger, Mr. Pride, Mr. Envy is very subtle. We cannot actually see how to spot envy. So if one doesn't have proper spiritual education, proper shelter, taking shelter of scripture, he or she will not be able to recognize what is guru and what is sadhu, and what is my enemy. Because the enemy speaks to the false ego sweetly, and then the false ego immediately responds very sweetly. So they have a rasa exchange inside, and then we become subjugated by the senses, and we get again absorbed in the blazing forest fire of material existence. Therefore, today my point was, let us be mindful. Let us understand this process, devotional service, so that we can perceive reality properly, we can position ourselves properly and make advancement in that way. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Any comments or questions?
Yeah. Thank you for a wonderful lecture. Our perception is very important. Prabhupada said the same thing. I was here in one lecture, and he said that whatever money you are going to get, that is also destiny. He gave an example of a Gujarati man in India. He was fabulously rich, but he couldn't even write his name. Signed property. So you are going to the bank, asking anybody who was there, just to write the amount and name. And Prabhupada said, you can write your own name and you can get money. So, but Krishna is so kind that he has to get that much money for him anyway. Whatever happens.
According to his karma, yeah.
Yeah, according to his destiny. So, that should also make us very aware that we have to depend on Krishna, as you said. That Krishna is my protector, Krishna is my friend. He is also telling an example of a doctor, very well trained, he was immersed in London. And if you give his proper help to visit his house, and he is getting utensils for cooking. Such highly trained doctor. So, again, you have to depend on what Krishna is giving you. So, the point what Prabhupada is making that we have to completely depend on Krishna. Whatever he provides, and we have to accept it. And at the same time, we have to chant the holy name. Jaya 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 Krishna Desh. So, we have to be very confidently do our chanting, as you said. And
striving for Shudanam, striving to chant purely. These are three levels. We mustn't be satisfied with our current level of consciousness. If you're satisfied with your current level, you'll get stagnated. Bhaktivedanta Maharaj said that this is ISKCON movement, Prabhupada called it a movement, which means you have to move. And he said, if you're standing in one place, if someone is standing, if I come, I can catch you for your arm and I can pull you very easily. If you're walking, I may struggle a bit, but I'll be able to pull you. But if you're running, I got no hope to stop you, you know. So he said, this ISKCON movement is about running towards Krishna. It's not about standing and being satisfied where we are. Oh, I'm a devotee, I'm doing good. He asked sometimes some devotees, you know, how many years you've been chanting? 20, 30 years. And he said, you're still having the same anarthas as 20 or 30 years. You still have the same consciousness. What's wrong with your chanting? Bhaktivedanta Maharaj asked. So we have to be very, very serious that if I'm not advancing, if I'm getting blocked, I'm suffering, I'm getting deluded, material energy is becoming attractive, that means that I'm doing something wrong. So what is it that I'm doing wrong? Mindfulness, we have to examine. And then when there is a devotee, we have to recognize they may appear amongst the demons even. You see. Prahlad Maharaj appeared amongst the demons. So, in other words, this verse is encouraging us to have a very deep perception of what are the symptoms of a devotee. It doesn't matter how they look and what they look like externally. You know? And sometimes a demon may appear in dhoti and tilak. You know? That's also there. Empowered with destruction, to destroy others. You can see in Krishna Lila so many demons appeared as cowherd boys trying to pralambasura, you know, trying to kill Balaram or something like this. Putana, she appeared as devotee, nice, dressed very nicely, and she wanted to kill Krishna. So one has to be a warrior, spiritual warrior. You have to observe what's going on inside and outside on the battlefield. And Bhaktivedanta Maharaj also used to say, we are all on the battlefield of consciousness. And every one of us is fighting our own Kurukshetra. You have your own challenges. Arjuna had to kill Bhishma, his grandfather, his guru. He had to kill his cousins. But you may have to kill some of your own weaknesses, envy, pride, lust, greed. You have to kill them. But if you think, no, this is my pet, Mr. Lass, how can I kill him, you know? He's a good friend of mine, you know. Just like Arjuna was crying, why should I kill Duryodhana? You're on a battle of Kurukshetra, make no mistake. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. So, here is prasadam. Hare Bol. Srila Prabhupada ki. Hare Krishna.